Today's reading is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army may besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'll pray as we start. Father God, we thank you for your word, that through it you meet with us and enable us to know you. I pray that you would use my words now to help us all to know and to love you better and to bring glory to you. Amen. Well, I wonder what you do when you find yourself in a bit of a tricky situation, when hard times come your way. Do you panic? Do you ignore the problem and hope it goes away? Maybe you immediately start planning how you're going to get yourself out of the problem. Well, our passage today shows another reaction to troubled times, that of complete confidence in God and desire to be with him. It's a great example, and we're going to be working through it for the next 20 minutes or so. For a bit of context, this psalm was written by David, who was an early king of Israel. He lived about 3,000 years ago. He was a king chosen by God to lead God's people and to show them what God is like. He had a particularly close relationship with God, and this exhibits itself in his confidence in God. And that's our first point, confidence in the Lord. As we look at this psalm, the very first thing that hits us is David's confidence in the Lord. It opens strongly. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? From the outset, David states his position. The Lord is strong enough and good enough to protect David and to uphold him. We're not told precisely what situation David was in when he wrote the psalm. From this verse alone, you might think it was a position of triumph, of victory. He's full of confidence, proclaiming God's strength and his care. But as we read further, we start to get a somewhat different picture. Verses 2 and 6 mention enemies, armies besieging him. And in verse 12, we hear of people making malicious accusations against him. It certainly gives the impression, even if it doesn't state it outright, that at the time, David was going through some really hard times. It's likely that the army mentioned in verse 3 was a literal army, coming against him, advancing and besieging him. We certainly know that David was well experienced in being badly treated, and in having powerful enemies. In the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, we hear of David fighting bears and lions in his youth. We hear of him facing the giant Goliath, armed only with a sling. We hear how Saul, the then king of Israel, mobilised his army to hunt David down, forcing David to hide in a cave in the mountains. We hear how David's own son, Absalom, spread lies about David to discredit him, and then led the people in open rebellion against him, forcing him to flee. So whilst we don't know exactly when this psalm was written, we can be confident that David knew how it felt to be attacked, maligned, and endangered. But in verses 1 to 3, we see this amazing confidence in the Lord. See how David describes him in verse 1. The Lord is my light. Light here being a reference to God's goodness, the way he exposes and drives out darkness. The Lord is my salvation. He saves David from the distresses of life that David will later elaborate on. The Lord is my stronghold. He protects David and keeps him safe. But more than being just light or salvation or a stronghold, see how David describes him. My light, my salvation, my stronghold. David's confidence is based in objective fact, but more than that, it's based on personal experience and relationship with him. David was supremely confident in God's goodness and strength because he knew God. He knew God's promises to him. He'd had lived experiences of God's salvation and protection. He could look back on previous times in his life when he'd seen God at work. And he could look at God's promises to his people and to David particularly, to know that he would save his people. Well, fairly recently, I've attempted a little bit of DIY at home. It's not really my forte, so I normally ask a friend to come round and to give me a hand. My most recent job was trying to attach an awning to the back of the house to keep the sun off. Well, obviously, it had to be installed a bit of a way up, probably just above head height, at sort of full reach. I needed to use a ladder. Now, to be honest, I don't like ladders. Heights aren't massively my thing either. But I could be confident. From experience, I knew the fact was that the ladder was solid. The ladder wouldn't break under me. And I knew my friend. I knew that he was strong, and I knew that he was reliable. He would support the ladder so it didn't slip. So despite the fact that being up the ladder was not a very happy place for me, I could climb up with confidence because I knew that the ladder was solid and that my friend was strong and reliable. He wouldn't let me slip. Well, similarly, David knew for a fact that God is strong. He knew God personally. He knew that God loved him and cared for him. He had full confidence in him. Despite whatever hardship he was going through, David trusted God. Well, this really is a remarkable level of confidence. Sometimes it is hard to trust God, especially when we're experiencing troubled times. But we can have this confidence too. David knew everything that God had done for him and done for his people, to love, to rescue, and to care for them up to that point. And that gave him confidence that God is good and that God loved him. But we have even more knowledge of that more knowledge of what God has done for us. We know that Jesus died for us on the cross, the ultimate sign of God's power and love for us. We have every reason to have this level of confidence and security in God, whatever our circumstance. And whilst this is really encouraging for us, there is also a challenge too. When we're scared or troubled, how do we react? When times get hard, do we respond by saying, God, whatever happens, I trust that you are good and kind and loving, and that you will bring about the best thing for me through this? Or do we say, as I personally find more common, God, you need to get me out of this now. See, David's confidence is remarkable, and is well worth emulating. He had confidence in the Lord's faithfulness during troubled times. But notice that his main desire isn't for God's protection, or that he'd bring the troubles to an end. Let's read verses 4 to 6. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. David's desire here was for his relationship with the Lord above all else. That's our second point, seeking the Lord. As we've seen, it's very likely that David is thinking of a real occasion of extreme hardship, of war and enmity. And that makes his request in verse 4 all the more striking. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Above all else, David wants God. The house of the Lord here probably refers to the tabernacle, the tent that God was especially present in. It was a precursor to the temple in Jerusalem that David's son Solomon built. But more than just wishing to be physically in the house of the Lord, David desires to be in God's presence, so he can gaze on his beauty. It's a really lovely picture of relationship with the Lord, of the relationship that David has. He just wants to be with God. He dearly loved God and just wanted to be near him. Yes, he knew that God's presence would keep him safe and offer protection. That's in verse 5. But that's not really what he's after. He just wants to be with his father. Well, in recent months, I imagine that many of us will have been separated from loved ones, which can be a really painful experience. Being apart from those who are special to us is hard. We long to see them, not just for what we'll get from them, or what they can do for us, but simply because we love them. Separation is hard. We long to be with each other, just to spend time together, and to enjoy each other's company. Relationship is far more than being about what someone gives. And David demonstrates that really well here. He just wants to be with God, to know God, and to love him. Protection, safety, and comfort, they're all way down the priority list. What matters is knowing God and being with him. Well, ultimately, David, along with all of God's people, we'll experience this perfect relationship with God in heaven, when we will live with him forever. The confidence that David expresses is the confidence that God will bring him home to him, to heaven, in the end, to live with him and to be near him. David can't say for certain that God will bring him military victory, but he can be utterly sure that God will bring him safely home to him. Well, we too can share this confidence. These last few months have been scary, painful and uncertain for many of us. They continue to be so. We don't know what will happen in the short-term future. The pandemic continues, and we don't know when it will end, or what life will look like when it does. It's easy to worry or despair. But while we don't know what the short-term future looks like, we can have utter confidence in our long-term future. We, like David, can look forward to an eternity in heaven with our Lord, and nothing that is thrown at us can shake that. But there is a challenge here too. It's very easy to slip into wanting God for what he gives us, not for who he is. Often we can see this in our prayers. Are our prayers mostly focused on ourselves, asking God for things? Or are they focused on him, on spending time with him, praising him for who he is, appreciating his goodness? It's easy to lose sight of how wonderful the relationship we have with God is. But like David, we should delight in him in any and every situation. David knows that his relationship is by far the most important thing in his life, far more than his safety or comfort. And this value comes in part from the fact that it's undeserved. Whilst David has utter confidence in God, he recognises that his confidence is in God's goodness, not David's own personal merit. God's salvation and protection isn't because David is such a great guy, and it's not because he owes David anything. God knows that he doesn't deserve anything from God, but he has confidence nonetheless. Well, that's our third point, knowing our need. Let's read verses 7 to 10. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your heart, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. For these verses show David pleading with God, asking him to be with him and to support him. It might seem that David's confidence has taken a bit of a knock. The psalm opens strongly with such confidence. This seems to be a little bit of a backward step. But there is more to it than a crisis of confidence. Looking at verse 10, we can see that David is still standing firm in his faith, knowing that even if his closest family were to abandon him, God still wouldn't leave him. Instead, these verses show that David knows God, and he knows himself. He knows that he doesn't deserve this relationship with God, that God doesn't owe him anything. In verse 7, he asks for God's mercy, that God will graciously help him, despite his not deserving it. He's not asking these things of God because there's a real risk that God might abandon him or turn him away in anger, but to express his dependence on God, to demonstrate his utter need for God's help. Whilst he's confident in God's salvation and protection, he's not taking it for granted. Well, my wife and I like to go for walks fairly often, although sometimes the kids need a little bit extra encouragement. One of our favourite walks is from Orr, where we live, up to the Fire Hills. And occasionally, if the kids need a little bit extra motivation, then we will tell them that when we get there, we'll buy them an ice cream from the van in the car park up there. So, we walk through the country park. Well, when we get there, the kids could say, "You told me I could have an ice cream, so you have to buy me one." Or they could say, "Daddy, please, may we have an ice cream?" But more commonly, it's somewhere between those two options. But there's a big difference, isn't there? One expresses dependence and love, and one expresses a degree of self-centeredness, taking a promise for granted. David here knows he needs help. He needs God's mercy. He's aware that God has a right to be angry with him because of his sin. He knows that he needs to learn God's way. and he needs his help to walk in a straight path, leaving God's way. And he expresses his need and dependence. This pleading with God isn't at odds with his confidence, but it does make God's faithfulness to David even more remarkable. It's faithfulness that is completely undeserved. Well, it's the same for us. We are no less sinful or more deserving than David. In fact, we're told that David had a heart like the Lord's. He was particularly close to God. And if David needed to approach God with humility and dependence, then how much more do we? It's all too easy to be blasé with God, to take him for granted, to take his faithfulness to us lightly. It's easy to ignore our sin, and to assume that we can come to God on our own terms. But here we see an example of true humility and dependence on God. David is utterly confident in God's goodness, but acutely aware of his own need. His need for God's mercy and forgiveness. This is an approach that we should copy. Our relationship with God and our confidence in him will only be strengthened by an increasing knowledge of our own shortcomings and God's wonderful love and salvation despite them. Well, David closes the psalm by reiterating the confidence that he has in God, that he will see the goodness of the Lord even while he still lives. He is entirely sure of God's love and kindness. He ends with verse 14, an exhortation to the hearer to keep going, to keep trusting, to stand firm in God until we see him in heaven. So let's close with the words of verses 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.